So this is an interview with Mike Grice. We're just going to run through a bit of a chat. I'm really quite keen, Mike, to speak to you at this time and sort of generically as well, because we are in an interesting time. So first of all, can you just introduce yourself, your profession, and let people know?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Mike. I do two main things. I run a movement therapy clinic in Harborne. So we run a multidisciplinary clinic. We've got, I'm an osteopath, and we've got strength and conditioning coaches, physio, dietitian, CBT, so we got, that's probably about it. But we've got a couple of some of those roles, and sort of soft tissue guys as well, sports therapists. And we all work together in this clinic that's focused around the gyms. We've got the gym in the middle, and then treatment rooms around the outside. So the flow is: patient comes in, gets assessed by a clinician, either physio or myself, and then depending on what they need to do, they then go on to the relevant person, whether they need nutritional advice or strength and conditioning. My background is in fitness anyway, so we have some good chats between the fitness guys and the physio guys all working together, so that's all good. And then I also run movement therapy education, so I've been a teacher since 2008, but I was a trainer before that, so around about 2001, 2002. And I've worked at colleges, at universities, and privately teaching health and fitness courses and therapy courses. So pretty busy. Yeah.
Brilliant.
and we used to work together.
Yeah, we did. We've known each other for about 11 years now, I think, something like that, isn't it?
So, yeah. I think it might be even more than that. Yeah. Things around about 2008, I think.
Was it 2008? Yeah, I was thinking 2001. Yeah. But yeah. Mike and I have similar interests in terms of long-term goal with our clients, but ultimately we train professionals, whereas Mike does the therapy side, I do the biomechanics side. We often conflab, and I'm really interested to, I've got a burning question that I'm asking everybody at the minute. So in terms of right now, before I get to that one, how are you getting on with your business? Because obviously if you're running a clinic, you can't go into your clinic and work with manual therapy and diagnostics and things like that. So are you online? What are you doing? I think you're doing a bit, aren't you?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're quite lucky really, because we're not a typical kind of like massage-y clinic really. We do hands-on therapy. We think that's a valuable part of what we do. But our main goal is to get people moving again. So we usually do a lot of one-to-one fitness stuff and strength training and group exercise as well. So we've managed to switch a lot of our clients onto online. So it's been pretty good. I've not seen anybody from a clinical point of view over the past sort of fourth week now. My regulars, my kind of regular fitness people and S&C guys, we're just starting to get online with those again now. So I see I teach three classes a week, still teaching, still doing it, now we're getting it's really interesting actually, because we've got people from, because we normally can get five people in a class, and I've had up to 10 people on one of my online classes, but from all over the world. So we had one of our old clients who's moved to Australia jump on one of our classes. So it's been a bit mad. That's been really good. My one-to-ones, we've now sorted it out. So the first session we did, they just got their phone and they showed me around all the kit that they've got. And then I could then devise a plan, and I sent them a plan across. And then we do the plan together. So made them a program card and adapted everything they're doing in the gym with me to the home equipment that they've got. So I think, thank goodness for my fitness background really, because if I was just relying on the old manual therapy, then I'd be struggling at the moment. But the fitness side is going well.
So, brilliant. Yeah, good. So then the big question is, what's going to happen when we come out of lockdown? How do you think Because you're obviously having a benefit in terms of you can now get 10 people in a class, whereas face-to-face, you can only do 5. Will you do both? What do you think is going to happen? Is the industry now changed forever, in your opinion, based on what we know today?
Yeah, I was literally talking about that yesterday. So I think we'll still run our face-to-face stuff because it's still valuable. And but I think there's a huge potential for because we've started a group really called it Stronger Together. So because we just started doing the online stuff, and then up pops on my Facebook feed somebody else that I know doing trying to get their online stuff going, and then someone else pops up, and I was like, well, we know these guys are good. We've known them for years. Why don't we just team up together? So now we've got, well, by the end of this week, there'll be 30 classes now that we offer online on this page. And we're just basically, we've realized that our clients are no longer in our area. They're everywhere. Yeah. And so when we come out, I think we'll probably carry on doing the online stuff, and we'll have it as a as an option for people to do. So obviously, if those that don't live around us can't come to us anyway. So, and if we're doing an online class, it doesn't matter if there's one person or 100 people. Yeah. You know, if you because there's no space, you don't need a big venue for it or anything. So I think we probably will. I think we'll do our we'll do our standalone stuff in the clinic, the small group stuff, and then I think we'll do the online stuff as well. In terms of clinical, it hasn't worked well clinically because you need to assess people. The treatment side is good, yeah, because a lot of the treatment we do is exercise, but the actual assessing people is really quite difficult. I think we'd still need face-to-face, like what one-to-one with that, I think.
And I guess that's just the higher risk and contraindications of those types of demographics in terms of assessment and movement and pain and what can go wrong from that perspective, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's really hard sometimes because you need your resources with you. And when you're doing things online like this, because you don't know what you're going to discuss with someone who's new. So so at the clinic, I could just, you know, go to a drawer and get whatever I need. And then it's there and I can show people stuff, or I can show them a video online. I mean, I guess you can do that here as well, but it's a bit more of a faff. And if they are a bit of a technophobe as a patient, they're going to, I mean, even just arranging a meeting might be difficult, you know. So I can see some benefits to it, but then I can see where there's downfalls to it as well. So but then again, I mean, some things like I've had a call the other day from someone who had some this is a family member, so had some pain and their symptoms were a little bit sketchy, so I was like, right, let's just do a face-to-face. I just need to ask you a few questions. So that worked well because I was able to question them, then figure out where they needed to go or what they needed to do. So there is some benefit, but I'm looking forward to seeing patients face-to-face again. Yeah, definitely.
And I think that's the conversation I'm having with people is, you know, people are worried, personal trainers predominantly I'm speaking to, but, you know, they're saying, oh, it's all online now. I prefer face-to-face, but I'm in competition. I said, well, you're not, because the biggest thing people are going to look forward to is human contact. The oxytocin, they don't realise necessarily, clients don't necessarily realise, but they're going to want that kind of chemical reaction to being in room with people. And it isn't really personal training online. And before this went on and you had people who were working online, I think there was a lot of us, weren't there, saying you can't do it online. And then we're all kind of like, you know, tail between our legs, forced down it. But I think duty of care, particularly in the therapy setting for yourself, yes, it needs to be face-to-face because you don't know what's going to come up. But I also 100% agree that I think this has enabled us both as educators and practitioners to create a mass of resources that are only going to fuel and help the face-to-face client. So I agree with you, but I do think it's going to change a general theme, but I think more than ever, people are going to want to be face to face.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that's it. I mean, we know the benefits of exercising as a group. So we know the adherence is better, and the outcomes are better. So, and people long for that. I think they will come back to that very, very quickly. Like once or other, there'll be people that are kind of like, can't wait to open their door and get to your gym. They will be like that. But then, you know, equally, it has pushed some of us that are a little bit more resistant to using online services to have a go and then actually realize it's not that bad.
Yeah.
It's quite easy to set up a Zoom meeting. The quality is pretty good as well. I mean, like I said, I was teaching this morning and the girl from Australia was there this morning. Yeah, it's mad that I can run a whole session and she's on the other side of the world. It's mental.
Yeah. I've just had a conversation. I did the live Q&A just now, with 30 people. Mm. You know, getting 30 people in one room, as an educator, is a super challenge. But online, they can just log in. Some of them were in the garden. You know, they didn't have the video on. That's fine. So I think there's definitely pros and cons. And I'm one of those technophobes who was like, oh, I must do it. And now I'm forced to. I'm like, actually, this is quite good. But I think, and there's something else I wanted to ask you about, it keeps coming up again due to the current setting, is kind of scope of practice, insurance, duty of care, whether you are a therapist or a personal trainer, the things that you're doing. So in terms of, if we start first with your practice, what have you done to have all of that in place? Did you just ring up your insurance company, or how did that work, and what did they say?
Yeah, so we were contacted before I even started doing it by the General Osteopathic Council to give us guidelines on it, so we follow those guidelines, and Baylands cover us as well for online consultations. But then I was thinking, because I did a one-to-one yesterday with someone, and of course they've got Zoom on their phone, so they've got their phone propped up so they can see me, and then you give them any floor work and you can't see them. So we've had a chat about that, and obviously I've got to change the camera angle so that I can see him on the next set. But he's someone that I've worked with previously anyway, so I know his technique's pretty good. But if that was a brand new person, you're trying to explain things and you can't see people, they just drop out of you. So there's things like that that you kind of learn as you go along. But then also them being able to see you. Making sure that your webcam is in a position where they can see your feet and they can see your head, and that sometimes that's not possible if you're doing stuff at home. Yeah, it's quite difficult. So those have been challenging things. But in terms of duty of care and looking after patients, I think it's very similar to what we do anyway in the clinic. Is whenever a new patient comes in, we'll get them to fill in a very detailed questionnaire about their medical history before they even come into the clinic. So we know whether to signpost them away from us straight away to their GP or whatever. So we've already kind of got that system in place anyway. I guess now it's making sure that we've got that. We do a bit of a recce beforehand online. Like I said, but I did with my chap, you know, what's the environment he's working out in? What kit has he got? What room has he got? And then I can then think and then create a plan about around the area and the kit he's got available. So I guess it's not really changed that much, to be honest. I think some insurers don't insure you for online consultations. So it's definitely something that you should check. But I know ours do. So
likewise.
Really affected me.
I went through to Grey Books and they just emailed me straight back and said, yeah, you covered for everything online or face to face. And I had that in writing. But I think you bringing up the technicality side, what I think definitely one of the biggest challenges is teaching the client how to use their camera and their space so you can see them. We can have a nice big space and great camera angles and things, but actually if you're trying to coach them, that's one of the big challenges, isn't it? And then from an educator sort of perspective, I've seen that. I know you're doing some things online. Do you want to tell us about that? How have you, were you doing that before already? I know you've done a load of anatomy stuff. But
no, that's, I mean, I've recorded things and put them online, but never did anything live. And that's been the best thing, to be honest. It's been crazy. We've probably had about 300 unique people on the webinars. And so I've been doing two webinars recently, one on clinical reasoning. So we do a different case history every week and work through that. And then the second one has been tendon talk, a guy called Dan Lawrence, who's written a book on tendinopathies. So he and I have been doing that every Monday. And it's been really good. It's been really well received. I think it's been good because nobody's got anything to do. So everyone's off at the moment. So maybe the numbers are skewed a little bit. I've realised that 6 o'clock is probably not the best time for people who've got small children, right, to come and watch things. But the 8 o'clock session has worked really well. But we've made them available online afterwards as well, so people can catch up and watch them again. But it's again, I'm quite lucky that I've got that to fall back on, because the education side hasn't really stopped. I've taught, because we run a diploma, and I've taught every day of that diploma as if on the days that we had them planned, but I've just done it online instead. So again, it's made me have to really prep everything for that session. So even though, I mean, obviously we prep anyway, but you'd have all of the models there and things like that, that and do group work with people, but you can't do group work. So we've had to then utilize a private Facebook group. So I've gone, right, okay, 5 minutes, I'll pop a timer on the screen. And then they'll go off and they'll do an activity on their own, wherever they are. And then they'll post their pictures or their video on the Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And then I'll put the Facebook group into the group chat, and then we'll discuss what everybody did. So it's, we found ways around it. That's probably the area of everything that I do that hasn't really changed that much. I wanted to try and keep it as close to the timetable as what we're already doing. I think the only thing I have had a problem with is I do anatomy lab visits, and we can't go to the university because the university's shut. So hopefully we'll be able to do the one in August, but the one in April has been postponed. So where you have to physically go somewhere, obviously that's a no-no, but where we can, we've done it online.
And is that paid for? How can that, is that free, or is that some of it free and some of it paid for?
Yeah, so the webinars are all free. So there are four a week now, and a couple of my team as well, because I've got guys that teach up in Leeds. Well, Chris Kitson, he teaches with you guys as well. And there's a guy called Al Cunningham as well up in Liverpool. So they're doing a few sessions. And they're going to bring those on in the next couple of weeks. And we've been doing the one thing that has been really good is doing interviews with students. So I've been able to do one-to-ones with students on Zoom, which has been really good, because they've been able to show me their work and been able to mark it and then give them feedback. So that's worked really well, actually. That's been really good. But yeah, the webinars are free. I just wanted to give people a bit of a taste of what we do, because there's lots of courses out there for manual therapy and, well, therapy in general, it's not just manual therapy. And people always say, well, what's the difference with your one? And I think these webinars show the difference. So it's yeah, it's been really good. People have seen why our course is 3 years long and most other therapy courses are a year. So it's yeah, it's been really good.
So what is the difference then? What's the title of your course? And what would you say makes it stand out? Why is it 3 years? What are they getting within it? I know it's pretty extensive now, isn't it?
Yeah. So we've basically what we've done is we've taken the level 5 criteria for therapy, and then we've added, or I've added the bits on that I think are missing. So what it gives you is it's called the Movement Therapy Diploma. And basically our kind of motto is that we help people move, and that's it. So whether they're injured or whether they want to improve their performance or whatever it is, we just help get people moving again. So it bridges the gap between therapy, so your sort of level 3, level 4 sports massage type people, and the level 5 in soft tissue therapy and clinical world. So so we've added in now pathology modules. So we're going into in-depth pathology about cancers and endocrine system issues, gastrointestinal issues. So it's all the things that I would have covered on my osteo degree. We've then included research methods because a lot of our guys want to go on to university. So we've started to embed that into the early stages of the course. We've got medical imaging modules. We've got pharmacology modules, as well as the level 5 stuff. Yeah. So we've got all the level 5 soft tissue work, plus the rehab work, then plus the clinical stuff. So it's quite a comprehensive mix of everything really. It's very good. I get asked all the time what the difference is, and they say, you know, I've done a level 5 with whoever. I say, well, that level 5 course is about 10% of ours. Yeah, so all the stuff you did soft tissue wise on that course, that's about 10% of ours, and then the other 90% that we teach you is all the pain science and all the medical stuff and the clinical work. And it's not to make you diagnose things, because you can't diagnose unless you're in a registered profession, regulated profession, but it's to make you very good at clinical reasoning so that you know when to refer and who to refer them to. So that's it in a nutshell.
It sounds really good. I would love to do it. It's definitely on my list, but I might have to do it in segments. And then obviously we met through the sort of biomechanics coach diploma designing, that phase where you were integral in actually more particularly the low back pain section. Does that fit, compare, set you up? How does that sit in terms of your journey, and then maybe even now for you, the old biomechanics coach diploma?
So I still use elements of it. I think the philosophy behind it is at the end of my course, is at the end of the movement therapy diploma. So the diploma that we do is all about early stage intervention.
Yeah.
The biomechanics course has always been billed as to use on people that aren't injured and don't have any pathology. And so as a continuum for a student, our stuff will be down here and then the biomechanics diploma stuff up here. But the thinking behind the diploma is still things that I look at now, nowadays. And I remember when I started my osteo in 2007, and that's when I first met Martin, was just before I was about to start the course. So it was around about 2007, 2008. And I said to him, I was like, this course is more like osteopathy than osteopathy is. And because it was an evidence-based structure that you could use to put into practice the osteopathic principles. So it was, and like I said, I mean, I've because I was teaching at university for about 7 years, and obviously did quite a bit of research into the biomechanics of back pain and all that kind of stuff. And I've added to the program, and I've taken some bits out, so I've tweaked it to my style, and I'll do that with depending on the patient as well. And now I've kind of weaved in the pain science side of things as well, because obviously I see people who are in pain. So I use elements of the biomechanics coach, elements of the pain science, elements of rehab, and kind of mix it all together. And that's how it should be, really. It shouldn't be, you get a patient in, you get patient A in, and then you follow A, B, C. It doesn't work like that when you're dealing with patients rather than clients. You've got to use bits of what you've learned, and put it together in a way that the patient's going to respond best. There's tests that from that coaching diploma that I still use today. It's still been useful after all these years.
And one of the things that I talk about you all the time, that's always recommend to my biomechanics coaches to come and at least sample some of your diploma, and then inevitably I know some of them have come through and do all of it, and I watch you on social media, and then we meet, and then I see you doing it, and I'm like, I watch you and I think, how do you find the time? Because like, you are the go-to person for, oh, ask Mike if you want a research paper, Mike will have it, Mike will have read it, you know. And how do you find the time? Because I know you've got family, you've got your wife's quite athletic, she's competitive at sports, things like that. You've got a clinic, you've got staff, you're running education, you're putting it on all sorts of platforms, you've got every piece of research, and you're becoming qualified in all these skills. And then you bring over Tim Gabbett for a session. How do you find the time? How do you do that?
I don't know, actually. I've no idea. I think a lot of the stuff I do overlaps. Right. So, I've been asked, well, not me personally, but we have been asked as regional, because I'm a regional representative for the Sports Therapy Association for the West Midlands, and Gary Benson has been on our case for ages to do a biography of what we've done. And I went through kind of late 2000s doing my osteo degree, working with the biomechanics coaching guys, working at the college, and then switching to the university, and then qualifying as an anatomist, all in the space of about 5 years. And you realize everything, but everything built on something else. So the biomechanics coaching stuff was really good. And then I started doing, obviously the osteo stuff was coming through then, and I had to go to the clinics in osteo. And then when I started the postgrad in anatomy, that really helped my osteo. Yes. So it didn't feel like a separate thing. It was another thing that was building up what I was already doing. And I guess it was because when you finish a degree, I think you know a little bit about everything, kind of like a GP. And then when you do a postgrad, you know a lot about one thing. So it just helps to broaden your depth of knowledge of things, but it all interrelates. Things like Tim Gabbett, and that's to be fair, that was Dan Williams, because Dan had he'd met him in London. I talk about Tim's work quite a lot on the course and how to structure programs, and I use his research. And Dan and one of my other lads, Jack, went down to London to do his course, and Dan kept in contact with him. And then he made a WhatsApp group between me, him and Tim Gabbett. And then we were like, Tim, do you fancy coming to Birmingham? And luckily it was before COVID all kicked off. So yeah, he was able to come along, and yeah, it was great. We're trying to get Greg Lehman now, so so that'd be good. Yeah. So yeah, might have a chat with you about that because I need a big venue. And yeah, and to be fair, it's just asking. That's it. It's with these guys, they're normal people. And I mean, Tim was great. We went for a curry afterwards. He's a great guy, and we had a really good chat, just about normal stuff. You know, he's a normal guy. And well, I've seen Greg before as well. I went down to London when Greg was in the UK, and we went out for a beer afterwards as well. And they're normal people. They're doing what we do, and because they've written research papers, we think they're these gods. And I mean, their knowledge in their field is amazing. You ask them, and they're either going to say yes or no, and that's it. And thankfully Tim said yes, which was good. But we've had a few like that. We've got some guys coming over from Canada in I think it's going to be September now, with everything that's going on. Teaching something called DNM, so dermoneuromodulation, and it's kind of reframing manual therapy. So that's really cool. Looking forward to that. Again, we just asked, and they were like, "Yep, sure." So,
this is where I think, even as educators, and you and I are obviously selling our own education, but what we see in terms of the value to people is our learners, is having a broad understanding of different aspects. Like, you know, you're specialising in the therapy. I prefer to stick with the strength training side and personal trainers and biomechanics coaching, but actually bringing people in to help them understand pockets of other information, a bit like your diploma, I guess. Like you say, it's not a clinical qualification, but it's giving exercise professionals, strength coaches, these guys coming through, more understanding. And I think it's more understanding of contraindications and red flags and problems to know who and when actually it's gone beyond your scope as an exercise professional. And so I know you and I feel strongly about, it's not just our way, it's about, you know, multifaceted skills, isn't it?
Definitely.
So, okay. So what is the, for Birmingham Movement Therapy Clinics, Birmingham Movement Therapy Education, what is happening in the next sort of week or two? I know we can't plan much further ahead than that due to lockdown, but what have you got going on in the next week or two?
Yeah. Tomorrow I'm teaching on our diploma course. So that's a closed one for our students. Day two of ankle and foot rehab. So I did a day one last Thursday, got day two today. So doing that tomorrow. Tonight I've got the webinar, part two of the webinar, and then Friday night, part three. I was due to teach this weekend an advanced manual therapy course on the Saturday, and then a taping course on the Sunday. So I think what we might do, we did a load of taping videos years ago. So we're going to re-release those on the Sunday. And obviously the advanced manual therapy can't do that really via online. So we're going to continue to run our program really as best we can. So wherever there's theory, then we're going to deliver it. But just on what you said about the knowing when to refer and the contraindications for fitness professionals, I think the way that I like to think about the way we do things is you get someone come in and you fill in a park you, and they tick a box and they say, yeah, I've had a heart attack. So you go, right, okay, you need to be referred. We need to get clearance to make sure you're okay to train. And so they get all that through and they're good to go. If you've got the relevant qualifications to give exercises for that person. What we do is when you get that person come in, they don't know they've got something wrong with them. You go through your questions to figure out, is there something wrong with them? Right. So that's what we do. Some people know they've got stuff wrong with them. Some people don't know. and we teach you about the bits that they don't know and how to pick it up. And so that, and that's the safety netting of the course, really. Again, I've been asked questions because obviously as an osteopath, we get kind of tarred with the brush that we crick and crack everything. And then, oh, when are you going to do a joint manipulation course? And I very rarely do joint manips now in practice, but I can teach you how to manipulate a spine in probably about 2 or 3 hours. It wouldn't take long at all. It'd be about, you know, an afternoon session if you know basic anatomy. But not knowing when not to do it takes 3 years. And that's the thing. So it's easy to learn those skills. It's easy to learn those techniques. It's easy to know, you know, how to massage someone's leg, but it's knowing when not to do it, when that's not appropriate, because there's something else that's going on and they need additional care or they need a different approach. And that's the difference.
And I think you've hit the nail on the head. Something that I keep saying to my learners is the most dangerous thing about your practice is what you don't know. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you don't know with a client. And so I know that you, myself and Martin are at present speaking about putting together a system for exercise professionals, people maybe with lower confidence or less clinical skills or therapy setting, whereby they can go through that process of utilizing an online form and then potentially speaking to either yourself or Martin, who is a clinician. And it's that ruling out process that you guys, in terms of you being clinical in your training, are able to do to deduce whether this individual is okay for a personal trainer or actually they need to see one of you guys. That's coming together now, isn't it? We're putting that together.
Yeah. Putting that together now. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I think just on that, there's a very simple thing. It's like, so I call it a sieve, a sifting process. So you get loads of information in and you have to sift through everything that the person is saying. So you hope obviously with a PT that you've got someone with no aches or pains, there's no pain or anything like that. But if they did, and most people complain of a lower back problem. I've got a lower back problem. So then that could be about 50 different things.
Yeah.
But it could just be an achy lower back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's knowing how to ask questions about it could be this pathology, let's ask about that. It could be this one, let's ask about that. And that's what that checklist will do. So it will go through those things so that it ticks all of those things off the list. So then you're left with achy back, you're good to go.
Yeah.
So it's that's the whole point of that that process. So yeah, it'd be good to get that going.
Yeah, we'll be letting people know about that. So, okay, anything else before we finish off that you would like to talk about? How do people find you? Where are you? How do they access your free webinars or your paid stuff? Where do they go?
Cool. So on Facebook, if you type in the search bar at the top of Facebook, at MTE, so Movement Therapy Education, CPD, so all one word, at MTE CPD, that will take you through to our COVID-19 group that we've set up, and that will have all of the links to all the webinars and all the previous webinars that we've done as well. So we've put those onto YouTube so you can watch those back again. And then our website is mte.education. That's the main one for the education. If you want to have a look at the clinics and what we do, we've had to change all the website for the clinic because of what's going on. So tried to change things so it's all online, and that's mtclinics.com. So movementtherapyclinics.com. And if anybody's interested in adding their classes to our online schedule, get in touch with you, Rach, and then you can pass details on to me or get in touch with me as well directly. It's up to you. Up to you. I don't mind whichever. And basically you share it, we share it, anybody who's on it shares it, and it goes to thousands of people instead of just hundreds. And and hopefully we'll get you some new clients from different parts of the country.
And that's Stronger Together, isn't it? Is that the?
Yeah, it's a short link. So what I'll do if I send that over to you, and then you can post it in the Biomechanics group page.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I'm going to press the pause on the record. Thank you very much, Mike.
No worries. Thank you.